This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're back on the air. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we're being hosted by the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers in the Prudential Center, and that means this whole show is on the record. That's our special legal show, and Mark Furman is out on a business assignment as we do this interview, so I'm being teamed with the incomparable Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing.
Jeff, great to be with you as always.
Right, Mark. Thank you for being back. You know, you're my favorite co-host. Our next guest, one I know you recruited, Nicole Kinsley, yes, of Foley Hoag, correct?
That's right.
And after you tell us about the firm, I know we're going to be talking about trademarks and copyright expertise, correct?
That's right.
I'm looking forward to it. So tell us a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Sure. I'm an associate at Foley Hoag, and I do specialize, as you said, in trademark and copyright work, but the firm handles really far broader topics across many industries. We have special expertise in healthcare industries, tech, things like that obviously are very popular in Boston. But we have offices in New York and D.C. as well, where we do a lot of international arbitration, and an office in Paris, where I keep hoping to find an excuse to work for a few months.
All right. Can you speak French?
Oh, I used to be able to. I think with a couple months in the Paris office, I could probably get it back.
Some people have a facility for those things. Some people like myself who grew up in a French city do not.
I can get by.
Yeah. Yes, I can order Mark lunch and a suit if he wants to buy a suit in a store in Montreal.
And what more do you need?
Especially with Mark Z. He's ordered me some good suits. So.
He's wearing a Montreal suit right now. And shirt.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Tell us about your practice, because I think that's a very interesting area of the law for entrepreneurs.
Sure. Well, when I got started, I was in general litigation, but over time, I came to realize that what I found most interesting was the trademark and copyright area. So I still do a lot of litigation within that area, but about half of my practice is actually trademark prosecution, which means helping companies select their trademarks, find out if there are any risks to the trademarks that they'd like to use, get registrations, and then manage their portfolios, often worldwide.
When you say select their trademarks, mm-hmm. What type of process goes in to determining whether or not they want to have a certain trademark or not have a certain trademark?
Well, I do like to be involved on the ground floor of that decision as much as possible, because this is an area where companies can make some strategically unsound decisions, or even decisions that could lead to litigation down the road. So when choosing a trademark, and really the universe of potential trademarks is infinite, every potential trademark falls on a spectrum. And where I like my clients to be on that spectrum is the strongest end. And really, the gold standard for a trademark is fanciful. And that means a made-up word, something that has no meaning beforehand in English or another language, so that when they pick that, when they coin that term, that is something that consumers will come to associate only with them.
Interesting.
And that's the most valuable trademark.
I just worked with a client where we picked a Latin name.
And Latin names can be fine. If it translates directly from Latin to, for instance, the name of the product or service they're going to be offering, then you may have more of a descriptive problem.
Now, we're trying to just take a higher moral position.
Latin is good for that.
Yes, it is. Sorry, I'll let you continue.
Sure. So those fanciful marks, that's kind of the strongest place you can be. As you can imagine, you're easy for customers to find. If they know your trademark, they type it into Google and you're the first and only result that comes up. But one step down the spectrum from that are arbitrary marks. And those are words that already exist, already have a meaning most people are familiar with, but have nothing to do with your products or services. So for instance, if you were forming a computer company back in the early days of computing and you thought about the trademark Apple, that would have been a great choice, because until Steve Jobs did that, nobody had any reason to associate apples and computers. So now it's a very strong mark.
They were associated with music and the Beatles.
Right.
Apple Records.
Right.
That's right, which I think
I think there was an issue at the beginning between Apple Records and Apple computers.
I believe that may have been the case. I suppose all of that was eventually resolved when iTunes very publicly launched the Beatles catalog a few years ago.
Right.
So that's where I like my clients to be, in the fanciful or arbitrary space. The next category of potential marks are suggestive, and those are ones that sort of hint at what your product does or what it is, but they don't come right out and say it. So that could be something like copper tone, which you wear out in the sun, and it might help turn your skin a nice copper tone. Obviously, that's become a strong trademark over the years now that that's what people primarily think of as the mark.
I remember the copper tone little girl when I was a kid.
With the dog pulling on your swimsuit. Exactly. So a suggestive mark can be a very strong trademark, but sometimes the line's a little bit blurry between what's suggestive and what's descriptive. And descriptive is a place I don't want my clients to be. So if a trademark that somebody picks and comes to me and says, I want this to be my brand, if that describes what they're going to be offering or some quality or feature of what they're going to be offering, then in the first instance, that probably can't function as a trademark. And the reason is that their competitors will want to use that same word in describing their own products and they would have a right to. So you can arguably, if you get lucky and you use a descriptive term and you're the only one using it for a certain period of time, you can acquire distinctiveness. And eventually it may become a protectable trademark. It may become a registrable trademark. But that can be an uphill battle and sometimes an impossible one.
So like, for example, like the word Kleenex or escalator, these are like these are the type of descriptive jobs, or these are words that became the product.
So that's actually one of the most fascinating parts of trademark law, because when those were selected as brands, they were entirely fanciful. They were made up words. So that's the strongest position you can be in. So what you're describing is something called genericide. And this is sort of a trademark owner's worst nightmare, is when a term that's made up becomes so strongly associated with the product that people just start referring to the product by
Kleenex.
That word. And Kleenex is still a registered protected
refrigerator.
Right. Some things, trampoline, escalator, as you said, zipper,
Xerox.
Aspirin,
right.
Xerox. Still
I still say that. I still call a copy machine a Xerox machine.
Right.
And so there are some brands that have these problems but are still, you know, fighting the good fight and maintaining their brand strength. And really, because with something like Xerox, even when you say that, you know that Xerox is a brand. And presumably if you went out and bought a photocopier.
No, but my training is more in brand management, so I'm glad that they were able to invest so heavily in the imagery of the equity of the brand.
That's right. And Xerox wants you to think of Xerox as a brand, and you probably do. If you went out and bought a photocopier, you'd understand that Xerox was one of your options.
It's like when I hear the letter Z, I always think of Mark Z, and I'm not joking. And you've registered your Z, haven't you?
Yes.
I do. Right. Whenever anybody says to me Z, I automatically go to him.
But you know what's interesting, like as Jeff knows, like my wife years ago worked for Polaroid. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, you'll hear people saying, well, I took a Polaroid.
Yes.
So. And some
Kodak moment.
Right.
Right. And it's a tough question, because some usage like that actually indicates your brand strength. It's because people know your brand and it's kind of what they default to thinking about. Like if somebody says, I'm driving a Chevy, obviously they know that Chevy doesn't mean the same thing as car. It's a type of car, but they're comfortable referring to it as that and knowing that other people will understand what Chevy means in that context. So when you really get into trouble is when it actually becomes the generic word for the product. And that's what's happened with something like
a
escalator.
Jeep or a Jeep. Some people still refer to all-wheel drives as all Jeeps.
They do, but I think if they went out to buy a car, they'd understand that Jeep was one of the brands they could
choose. Absolutely. It's better today than it was 20, 25 years ago.
And so if somebody challenged the Jeep trademark and said, you don't have a trademark that's protectable anymore, Jeep would win that fight because
people
referring to it know it's a brand. But something like escalator, no one recalls that origin. Now it really is the generic term, and so that is no longer a functional trademark.
Interesting.
Well, so it becomes part of our regular nomenclature.
That's right. So that can be very risky, especially if your startup, for instance, has a really new idea and is going to offer a new product and maybe even a patent protected product so it won't have any competitors. That's when you want to not only pick a trademark, but pick a generic term.
So I have to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I went to graduate school and I went to university. When did you decide, or how did you get into the whole trademark area? Was it a conscious decision during law school, or did you some lawyers sort of shove you in a room with that stuff?
So neither of those, actually. And I wish there was some clear narrative to my life, but it's been very sort of sloppy how I've gotten to where I am. I started out in general litigation thinking that I wanted to stay as general as possible so that I'd always deal with new issues and you know, stay interested. I had some free time during my first year as an associate, and I read our firm's blogs, and we have blogs for different practice groups, and I read about things like security law, which didn't really grab me. And then I read our trademark and copyright blog, and I'll put in a plug here. It's actually trademarkandcopyrightlawblog.com, speaking of descriptive names. And as I read that blog, I thought, this is fun. These are articles about brands that I know, about movies that I've seen. This is a subject matter that, you know, putting law aside, is interesting to me. And then there are, of course, fascinating legal issues like genericide.
Right.
So I said, hey, maybe this is right up my alley. And I knocked on some doors and I talked to some partners who do this kind of work. And I found the partners were very receptive to hearing that their area was interesting. And so they were happy to staff me on some cases. And little by little, it became the majority of what I do. And now I'm officially in the IP department.
Yep.
Well, you know what I've enjoyed so far in our talk is, and I've talked to a lot of trademark and IP people, mm-hmm. you have the ability to break down a complex topic and make it understandable.
And fun.
Right, and enjoyable, and in terms of your association of your examples. And I think to entrepreneurs who don't have a lot of time and are not maybe as educated, but they're very good in starting companies mm-hmm. and developing products or services, that's very important, correct, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, you do seem, you know, we've had a lot of trademark attorneys on. We do a lot of lawyers on Radio Entrepreneurs, and this is a lawyer show today. But most attorneys you talk to don't seem to be able to bridge the gap between the law and the concept of branding. And you really you're walking both roads when you're talking to us. And I think that's important because for the entrepreneur, it is all about the brand. It's not about the trademark. The trademark's mm-hmm. about protecting the brand. It's not about the brand protecting the trademark.
and I think it's such a shame when people silo those two things because right. they are so integrated. Your brand is your trademark. Your trademark is your brand. And right. I think it's important when I work with clients to help them understand that. And when I explain to them some of the risks that might be out there legally, I want them to understand that that's also a risk from a marketing perspective. It's a risk from, you know, what's going to pop up on Google when someone is looking for you. So I think it is kind of necessary to take that holistic approach.
I think it's great. And I think we're both complimenting you and you make it very entertaining. I know it's a part of the law that's constantly in a process of change. And so entrepreneurs need to be talking to people like you all the time to find out how they need to adapt and protect their brand. So if someone did want to get to know you, besides the blog, how would they find you?
Foley Hoag, that's H-O-A-G .com. You can look me up there.
Your email sure. address?
Sure.
Absolutely. First initial, last name, N. Kinsley, K-I-N-S-L-E-Y. And that's, again, at foleyhoag.com.
And your phone number?
He loves phone numbers. He's the phone number junkie.
So. Sure. I'm 617-832-1185. That's my direct.
Mark's showing his age because he always asks for the phone numbers. So. I finally gave up on that, but I think that's a good idea too. You know, you have a lot of energy, a lot of insight. We hope you can come back again and do more stories in this particular topic area.
I'd be happy to. So there's a lot to talk about.
You'll make friends with our producers. great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. Thanks, Nicole, for showing up.
Thank you, Nicole.
And thank you, Mark Z. And again, when you hear the letter Z, there's only one, Mark Z. And my name is, there we go with our little trademark stuff. And I am Jeffrey Davis, and I'm host of the show. We're going to take a break. Thank you, Tarla Breedhart and Rogers, for hosting us today. We'll be right back after these messages.